the cross.
You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Looked over his shoulder to see who was more important for him to be talking to. And I watched the whole thing go down. And it really made me, I was dissuaded about the senator now and will be forevermore. He's that liberal guy up there in Vermont, you know, the one who ran for president.
The name that shall not be mentioned.
Yeah. And so I learned that, and the Lord has taught me there's no such thing as 1 million. There's only 1 million ones. And, you know, if God puts a person in front of you who's hungry, then feed that one person. You know,
I agree.
You know,
so hardly. But as I graduated high school.
Yeah, you graduated high school.
And I was lifting weights, long hair.
Yeah.
I was a bouncer at several bars. Oh, yeah.
Well, you're a big man. He's a big, he can't be, you can see him on the visual here, you can see, but he's like, how tall are you? Like, 6'5"?
Well, 6'2". I wrestled 185 in high school.
Wow.
So, but I'm about 250, 260, so I'm a big feller. And so at a high school, a guy said, you want to sell copiers? I said, what's a copier?
Back then?
Yeah, yeah. And I've been doing this since I was 17, or 18, actually.
Oh, my word. And
he said, I tell you what, before we start selling copiers, I do home shows for the Asheville Mall. So we've never sold the show out because, you know, not many people want to come to the mall, set up a booth for a home show or whatever. But here's some information. Let's see what you do. Go knock on some doors and see what you find out. Well, I went out there, and I guess just because, you know, I got a gift for Gab and people talked to me and this and that, I came back with shoeboxes full of money, cash. People were going to the home show. I sold the whole home show out. He said, how in the world with long hair and looking like a bouncer?
Well, if you like people, they'll like you back, and you like people, apparently.
And, yeah, and in small town, everybody knows you. But so I sold the whole show out, and after that, he says,
we're
starting Toshiba. McRae Graphics is starting a copier company. Actually, they had it already in Greensboro and Charlotte, but they wanted to open up in Asheville. And he said, would you like to come and sell copiers? I said, okay. So I cut my hair and freaked my mom and dad out because they're, you know, like all of a sudden I got a suit on. He bought me a suit and I cut my hair, business cut.
Is this the same guy you're with now?
No. He was my ex-brother-in-law many, many years ago, which that was a whole other story. But, you know, within 4 years, I moved up to number one in the company. All I did every day was go do 20 cold calls and a demo. But I had an Aerostar van. I had one copier in the side, two copiers in the back on gurneys. And I would go out in Western North Carolina, out, you know, probably an hour away from Asheville, west. And I'd knock on doors, say hello. And then I'd say, hey, you want to see a copy? And they'd say, sure. And so I'd pull the copier out, take it in the church or the business and show it how to use it. And they'd sign it on the spot. So I'd sign it up and come back. And I'd sell, you know, 3 or 4 every week. And so that's what gave me my success.
Well, then has your whole life gone pretty smooth because of that? Or
copier business has been really good. I was with Icon. I was a digital marketing
specialist. What about your personal life?
I've been married twice. Yeah. One was a South African woman that I met in Atlanta for 14 years. And then I married a girl I went to school with for 10 years. And so she's actually down in Florida. She actually lives, I guess, out in Okeechobee now. But that didn't, I guess, work out so much. But
have you done any missionary work? Or tell us about your life.
Well, only like in like high school and church stuff like that. You know, is the only stuff that we actually did, extra stuff. But I've been a part of the American Legion. I was a past commander for the Sons of the American Legion up in Post 77 in Hendersonville for 3 or 4 years.
Hendersonville.
Yep. And then I was a judge advocate for the state of North Carolina.
Let's hold on. Tacos and beer. What's the name of the place?
What's that?
Tacos and beer.
Are you talking about in Hendersonville?
Henderson. Oh, yeah. We stop in there for, it's either tacos and beer or something like that.
Yeah, though there's Hot Dog World, there's
Papa's and Beer.
Yeah.
That's the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably some of the best Mexican cuisine I've ever had.
Stuff,
go out
yeah.
of my way hours driving down 95. Let's go over to Hendersonville.
Yeah, because, I mean, between that and Hot Dog World, Hot Dog World's an old hot dog place. I've been there for years and years and years.
Yeah? Now, and, that I didn't know about.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But, I mean, the small-time diners and stuff, like Pop's Diner, you know, at the 5-star right there in front of the BFW, just little dives like that are just the best food. You find
That's
them in the middle of
small
living. Town. Yeah, it is. And
the Varsity?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know your way around a little bit.
Well,
the Woodworm Fire.
I have a proclivity for food.
Woodworm Grill is pretty good. So, but I mean, there's a lot of places up there. But that being said, I was the judge advocate for the state of North Carolina.
For what?
American Legion.
Oh.
Yeah. Served as an officer for them. So that just means that if there's problems inside the state of any of the different locations or different post. They had a problem. It came to the judge advocate to make a call on it, you know, and then they would send it back down or whatever. But honestly, it's just, you know, something I guess a lot of people don't want to volunteer. They don't want to put their time in, you know, and the people that are willing to do it, you know, get to go and do it. So, but then I became
Does your legion. Energy ever go down?
No, actually people complain all the time because I'm always, you know.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Well, sometimes it is, but sometimes it's overwhelming. Like my fiance would be the first to tell you, you're overwhelming sometimes. And my mom always said, hey, if you're going to marry this guy, you better hold on because, you know, it's going to be a wild ride. And, but I mean, I think of it as a good thing because to me, you know, you meet people and you either leave them better for knowing you or worse for knowing you. And then, you know, I tell everybody, attitude's contagious, is yours worth catching.
Yes, it is.
Because everybody's always so sad, stressed, and everything else. If there's a chance for you to take and turn it around and make them feel better or make them think, you know, that everything's going to be all right, you're going to be okay.
So do you witness for Jesus? I mean, this is what I thought about you when I met you, that you were
I do talk to people about what he's done in my life. And then, of course, now there's a whole other story. I was a firefighter as well for about 4 years in Greenville. And Greenville
volunteer River, or?
Volunteer.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
And then I had a stroke.
Oh.
Yeah, I had a stroke.
You seem completely normal.
Well, I went down when I was 50 years old, and I went down to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And when I hit the ground, I knew I was having a stroke because I've been, of course, you know, been fire response and all that stuff, so I knew I was stroking.
Fireman,
so I said, call the fire department as soon as you can, so they got me. I couldn't move, do, talk, do anything. I could only hear what everything was going on. So they got me over to the hospital. I was in intensive care, I think, probably for a week. And then they moved me down to the hospital.
Did they give you the new stuff that they have?
They were going to, but we were down to the final time of being able to make the decision to do it or not, because if it didn't work, it would do more damage.
No.
And they thought, because the doctors kept saying I had vertigo. Vertigo, always got vertigo. Vertigo doesn't make you pass out and hit the ground, you know, and not have any motor functions. So finally a neurosurgeon came in and she said, okay, we found it through the MRI. I had a blowout in my cerebellum back here in the back of my brain. And it was a full-blown stroke. So I had to learn how to talk again, walk again. Everything was gone. It erased it.
What was that like?
That's probably one of the toughest times. That's one of the toughest times
Especially
I had to really
you,
call.
Because you have a proclivity for loquaciousness. You like to talk.
Well, and, you know, I think that's when the Lord really, really played a hard part in my life, keeping me going. Because, you know, there's nothing worse than being 50 years old and not being able to go to the bathroom by yourself or be in a wheelchair. And you're rolling up because they take you to Care Partners. And I was in Care Partners for a year and a half to learn how to do it.
Quite humbling, huh?
It takes you to the bottom core of who you are. It makes you wonder and guess, second guess yourself, but then you draw from the strength that you have from God. But when you walk up, you know, they roll you up to a class and for your next session, and there's six guys there that are 70 and 80 years old that have had strokes, and you're sitting there like, what am I doing here? Why? What's my purpose? Why do you keep me around? Why do you just let me go? But the surgeon or the neurosurgeon said, you're going to come back as much as you want to. You have a unique stroke where it allows you to be able to recuperate if you want to. You won't fully recuperate because you'll always have stroke fatigue and certain things that happen.
Stroke fatigue.
That is, when you do any kind of physical work, i.e. Working out, lifting stuff, lifting hay bales, whatever it is, your body tends to exacerbate probably three or four more times than a regular person's would. So you fatigue much quicker, much faster, because your body cannot regulate the amount of
Well, you wouldn't know by talking to you.
Yeah, I know. Well, people say you can walk and talk, but I still can't write. You know, I mean, I can sign my name, but my handwriting looks like a third grader.
Sure.
So, but, and I can't run. My body,
you cannot run.
My mind will not tell my body what to do. I can walk at a fast pace, but when I try to run, my brain can't tell my legs how to do it.
So you fall or what happens?
I just fall. Yeah. It says, nope, you're not going to do that. So, I've learned the limitations.
You seem to be a very up personality, very positive thinker, and maybe that's why you're doing well.
Well, and I think a lot of it has to do is you want to let people know, look, I don't care what story you got, somebody's got harder and tougher, you know, and that's what people don't realize is that, you know, they sit and talk about, you know, hey, my story. I mean, like I was adopted when I was six, you know, there were seven of us. So I was adopted when I was six. Went through
they
5 years.
Adopt all seven of you.
Oh no! You can't take seven kids in North Carolina. But back then, you were a check. So if you were in the house, you got a check from the state. So you weren't a kid. They just bring kids in so they can get money for the money, because they didn't ever inspect them or any of that stuff. So the houses weren't, you know, to say the least, weren't very good. So I was in, like, I don't know, 20-something foster homes before I got adopted.
20-something foster homes.
Well, but some of it was because I was a problem. You know, we took apart a toilet, flooded a house in one place. In another place, we...
Were you just curious or were you...
Just wild. I mean, you got to remember, you're growing up at 2, 3, and 4, 5 years old, and you're, you know, you got nothing but a paper bag and some clothes.
You're a wild branch.
Yeah, you're running around crazy, you know. Batman's your favorite character, the old Sock'em Pock'em Pal, you know, the TV show when you put on a...
Now, why would your father died? You know what the story was?
My father evidently crashed out of a sliding glass window, and he left us. And then so our mother...
crashed out of what?
Sliding glass window in the trailer, I guess. This is what I was told by my siblings. I met them when I was 13, but they were all like, they were just...
So you lost your dad, and what about...
Well, no, he took off. Then the mom locked us up and left. And so we lived there, I think, a couple of months by ourselves before our aunt found us.
This is horrible. This is up in the Carolinas.
Marion, North Carolina.
Marion.
Yep.
I used to sing in churches in Marion.
Yeah, Marion,
North Carolina. Used to travel and sing in churches.
So, but that's where it was.
There's a Baptist church up on a hill. Wish I knew where it was. I used to do that.
There's a lot of churches up in North Carolina.
There are.
So, yeah.
The Carolinians always treated me nice, too.
Yeah, can I tell you what? I mean, that's Billy Graham's, you know, home state and home place.
I interviewed Dr. Graham.
I know. I was very impressed by that.
Well, I told the Lord, I said, if you don't give me Billy Graham, I don't believe you've been in my life.
My mom loved Billy Graham.
Well, he was the most humblest, loving man. He had no agenda when we talked. He was there for me and for my audience.
He's the only one that's never had a blemish. If you think about all the different religious people
First of all, when he pulled up, we were just going to Jeb's inauguration. And so me and his publicity agent, we ran over there. And he pulls up in a Ford, and there's another guy driving. He's in the front seat. He wouldn't drive in a limousine, none of that stuff, you know. And here I am helping a 90-something-year-old Billy Graham, you know, holding onto my shoulders as I have to walk him in.
Salt of the earth.
To the... hotel, and it was down. They brought him in secretly through the maids, and so all the maids are there doing the washing machines going round and round, the dryers, you know, and all of a sudden he comes in, and they start crying. They like God walking in or something. You know?
Yeah, well, I mean Billy Graham's well known in Western North Carolina, actually, in all the Carolinas. I mean, you know, he's worldwide known. I mean, you say Billy Graham, and there's just nothing but purity.
He had an unusual humility. How do you? I think I'll wager a bet that at 22 he had more humility than I do at 72.
Guarantee.
How do you get born with that? Because you know you were talking about going through troubles, you know, and we only tend to grow in the valleys. You know, it's written that Jesus was a man acquainted with many sorrows.
Right.
It's also written that he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And I think this is what's missing in the churches today. This is my personal thing. Everybody wants to have a hallelujah party, and we went through that whole process. Now, if you give, you're going to get rich, and you got all these con artists on TV and stuff. And it's coming down to the reality that, you know, if you really have favor with God, it even says so. Do you know what it's like to prune a tree?
Yes.
Okay, explain to the people how severe it is.
How severe it is to prune a tree?
Yeah.
Well, it's almost mandated. You have to prune it or else it's going to grow wild. And you have to control the growth.
You prune it so extreme. Right. I remember my friend, she had groves up in Ocala.
She said, kill it.
You always ask your neighbor.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Praise God for his way is mine.